Thank you, Lord. Got to get this ready for Brother Ike this morning. We have a special speaker today. Ike Roberts and I have been walking together for many years, and he is a chaplain at the hospice center here in Tyler. What a ministry to be able to be with people during their last hours on earth, to be with their families at a time like that. And we're just so glad to have Ike with us this morning. And he has just decided to be part of this church and with his family, Matthew and Katrina and baby. And I believe that some of the vision of this church began at Teen Challenge as Charlotte and I walked the streets of Tyler in 1971, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And another part of the vision of this church began with Ike Roberts at the Calvary Life Center over on the cut on right down, what's the name of the street, Ike? Palace Street. And reaching people, God touched our hearts in such a special way. And we sent him out to start another church, and it's just a circle. So Ike, welcome this morning, brother. And we just, and glad to have him. He's quite a preacher. Chaplain Robert.
Am I on? Oh, amen. Hey, what a privilege. It is indeed an honor. I count this an honor. To be able to come and speak this morning at Church of the Living Hope. As Brother Joe mentioned, he and I go back, way back in my younger years, in his younger years. And just a wonderful time just coming through the Calvary Commission. This is probably my second time speaking at Church of the Living Hope. I spoke, I think, one time when we was at the castle. But this is great just to see what God is doing. It's just wonderful, and it's good to be a part of the church. I'm so glad that, you know, Brother Joe accepted me, all of you guys accepted me into the church, my family and I, and it's good to be a part of the body. But of course, you know, in our earlier days, Calvary Commission, my training, I am very, very grateful. I will always be indebted to Brother Joe, and like I said, when I was 18 years old, just really, really in my beginning stages of trying to find my way in life and trying to become a minister in life, and was able to come and go through Calvary Commission and receive training and just have some foundational principles laid in my life where I could go and further my education and training and ministry. And so I'm really grateful for that. As he mentioned, I pastored Calvary Life Center early on in when I was about 21 years old, 22, I think we started that church. That was a wonderful time. It was a great time. It was a time where God was doing some things in my life. That church was started right between two nightclubs. I had one on the left and one on the right, and I was in the middle of that. And so when Brother Joe took me over, he said, "Now this is the cut, you know, in this area, you know, God is, you know." And when he told me that, I thought that was he used the word cut. I thought it was a shortcut to get to, you know, to a certain destination. I didn't know that people cut you over there, you know. And had I known that, I probably wouldn't have put my church there. But it was a wonderful time. God really used that time where it took us about 6 months to a year to get the church door open because we had to unbury the church from all the rubbish and garbage that was around the building. The city code, the city wouldn't let us, inspector wouldn't let us open the doors until we got everything cleared. And so finally we did that, and we started having service, and it was a wonderful time. And on Fridays we would do coffee house ministry. We'd go out right there in front of my church, you know. The guys would be going to the nightclubs, and I would go out there and share with them about the Lord as they would try to go into the clubs. And finally, one time, one of the owners of the club, he came over to my church. I had a little office in my church. I thought, and he came over one. I remember one Sunday, evening, he came over. I was sitting in my church and I was doing some work, and he said, "We have a problem." And I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "We need for you to close this church. You're causing problems to our establishment here." And I thought, well, you know, good. God is accomplishing his will, you know. And he said, "Yeah, we need you to close it." I said, "Well, we're not going to close the church." I said, "God has called us here to do a work in the city of Tyler." And I said, we're ordained by God to reach people. I said, "So we're not going to close." He said, "We're going to close this church. I can assure you we're going to shut this church down." So I remember sharing with Brother Joe, and I shared with some others. And on Friday nights, Brother Ravenhill had a prayer meeting every Friday night at Betty and Dale's home. And I would go there every Friday night. I was there. John Owens was there as well. John and I was not close at the time, but he was there. And so every Friday night I would attend that prayer meeting. I was there. And I remember sharing with Brother Ravenhill one particular time. I said, "Brother Ravenhill," I said, "we got a problem." He says, "It's no problem too big that God can't solve." He always had a remark. I said, "Brother Ravenhill, I need you to pray for Calvary Life Center. I need you to pray for the church." I said, "They're trying to close the doors to the church." And so in the midst of his prayer meeting, I remember him saying, he said, "We have a pastor here from Tyler. His name is Ike Roberts. He's going to pray tonight." I said, "I didn't want to pray. I wanted you to pray. I sure don't want to pray in front of you, you know." He said, "We're going to pray that God will keep the doors of the church open." I remember Brother Ravenhill praying. I also remember him coming to Tyler, to that little church, and praying. To make a long story short, God closed both of those clubs down. He closed both of them. And so I really thank God for Calvary Life Center. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. We just really saw some awesome things there. Amen. This morning, our text is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13, our text. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we're looking at verse 8. And it reads, "Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, 'Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me.' And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the offering that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, 'What have you done?' Saul said, 'When I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the appointed time, that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering.' And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept you have not kept what the Lord has commanded you. This morning, I want to use for a subject, the man after God's own heart. I want to talk about the man after God's own heart. I want us to look at this great patriarch. I want us to look into his life, looking into the life of David, and really glean some things from this man's life. Here's a man that is truly anointed by God, a man that has a heart after God's own heart. And so I want us to notice how David allowed God to use him in such a great way. And we read here, I want to point out that verse 14 is the key scripture that we will use this morning. Notice in verse 14, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man. God has sought for himself a man. It's been said that when God get ready to choose a man, he's not going to go to the White House. He's going to go to God, his house. God is, he's seeking. We have to understand that God chose us. We didn't choose God. God has always been seeking for a man, woman, boy, or girl whose heart was bent towards him, whose heart was set on doing the will of God. And so we see here that this man who had a tremendous love for God, he had an incredible love for God. This was not a natural thing for this man to have such a love like he had for the Lord. And so we look into the life of David and we see that here's one who truly been touched by God. It's an awesome thing to be touched by God. It's a wonderful experience to be touched by God. Until God touches us, until God really puts his hand up on us, then we're of no use. Here's this man. God sought him out. And God said that this is a man after my own heart. A lot of times when I read this, I'm always intrigued with reading the passage of scripture where God says, this is a man after my own heart. I think that as we look into the quality of David's life, if we can truly ascribe to anything in his life, we have to ascribe to the fact that as born again believers, that you and I would truly cherish or wish to truly have a heart that's after the heart of God. That we would long to have a heart after the heart of God. I believe that every born-again believer, every child of God, truly desires to have a heart after the heart of God. I know this is my heart cry, is to truly have a heart that truly seeks to please the heart of God and to truly go after the heart of God. And David is this man. What was it that caused David to have such a deep love and deep compassion for God? What caused him to have that? When you read this scripture, you have to ask yourself, what caused him to truly pursue God in a manner that he was pursuing him in? What caused him to go after God like that? That he would be known for being a man after the heart of God. What caused him? There is a word that's used in Christian theology that teaches the doctrine of prevenient grace, which briefly stated means that before a man can see God, God must have first sought the man. And when I use man, I'm speaking of women as well. I don't want you sisters to get mad at me. Speaking to you as well. Before a sinful man can think a right thought of God, there must have been a work of redemption done within him. Before he can think a right thought, there had to be a work of redemption. This is the secret cause of desiring to truly have a heart that longs after God. A heart that seeks after God. A heart that spends time in praying and communing with God. It's a work of grace. David was not a man without sin. He was not a perfect man. But he was a man that was truly redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He was washed by the blood. He was truly set free. And so this man truly cultivated a relationship with the Lord. We have to understand, the first thing that we see in the life of David is that he was a grace man, or redeemed man. He was a man that was truly touched by grace. We can all attest to that. The Apostle Paul says, I am what I am, only by the grace of God. It is by God's grace. It's by God's favor. It's been said that the definition of grace is getting what I don't deserve, where mercy is not getting what I do deserve. God's grace. God touched this man. The grace of God touched his life. I can remember the time when the grace of God touched my life. You can remember the time when God's grace touched your life. It was the grace of God. And so not anything that David can boast within himself. And as we look into the life of David, I want us to see the characteristics of David, how this man was truly one who was seeking after the things of God, not standing within his own dependency, but having a total dependency on the all sufficiency of who God is. We have to understand that our sufficiency is inadequate to get us to where God desires for us to be. but that we have to truly depend on the all-sufficiency of who He is. And so David, he comes to this place and he realizes that that is not within myself. If I'm going to be anything for God, then I must truly cultivate the grace of God working in my life. Because I can't do it apart from God. I need the power of God. I need the Spirit of God really moving within me to truly bring me to where God is trying to take me. And God desires to move us to a closer, more deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. That's the cry of God's heart. He's spurring us. He's wooing us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that woos and draws and really tugs at our hearts that truly asks that we would come deeper, closer to a more intimate walk with Him. David heard that. David was a sensitive man. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God. If you're going to be a man after God's own heart, then you must be one who is sensitive to the Spirit of God. David understood the true meaning of Zechariah is not by might. It is not by power. It is truly by the Spirit of God that's moving and working in my life. I need God's Spirit upon me. David realized that. That it was a work of the Spirit of God moving in his heart. That it wasn't anything that he could do, but that he was truly yielding and giving himself over to the Spirit of God. God is trying to woo us more and more to that place where we're walking in line with Him. Yeah, He has a plan and a purpose and a dream for our lives. And if God is going to see that, if we're going to see it come to fruition, then we must be people that are sensitive to the Spirit of God. Yeah, we understand, but we must be those who are not so bound by the traditions of things, but truly knowing how to hear what God and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He's trying to move us to that place as the body of Christ. David was this man. He had an exceptional love for God. It was an exceptional love that he had for the Lord. Look at Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2. Notice what David is saying here in Psalms 42, verse 1 and 2. As we look into this man's life and we see this awesome love and passion that he had for the Lord, oh, I tell you, it should truly move us in such a way. He says, listen, he says, as the hart pants after the water brooks. And notice what David is saying. He says, as the hart pants after the water brooks, he says, my soul, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul, he says, it pants after you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Notice David, he comes back and he says, not just any God, because there was many gods, the idols and everything. David says, no, I want you to understand that my heart craves for an authentic relationship with the true and living God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. You know, He's the only God. And notice here, Brother Ravenhill says, he says, you'll never have more of God until you realize that God is all you need. You'll never have this craving for God until you come to this place that you realize that God is the all sufficiency of who I am. So he has this deep, deep love for God. He says, my heart pants for God. That's something there. He says, I go after God. He says, I go after God because I realize that if I get God, then I have all I need. He says, I'm going after Him he says, I thirst for God. Have you ever found yourself craving for the presence of God? Yeah. Craving for God's presence. I just want to be in the presence of God. I just want to spend time with God. I just want to be alone with God. I just got to find that place where I can shed myself into that intimacy, that secret place, because I know if I spend time with Him in secret, I know He's going to do something in my life, and I know He's going to reward me openly. Not that I should boast within myself, but that the world might see that He is real, that God is alive, and that He's moving in the lives of people. He says, David said, I long for this. I long to be in the presence of God. Just like we would long to go and spend time at the dinner table. I can't wait till a meal is done. Some of you saying, yeah, hurry up, shut up, let me go. No, I hope you're not saying that. But I long for being in the presence of the Lord. Alone. David was this man. He said, for the true and living God. He says, not just any God, but a real relationship with the true and living God. Yeah. You know, we live in what we call a postmodern society. And what they say is that what's truth for you may not be truth for me. And what's relevant for you may not be relevant for me. But we need to show, we need to let the world know that we serve the true and living God. He is the true and living God. And David longed, he thirsted after this God. I want us to look at the second point of David's life. David was a man of, he was an obedient man. He was an obedient man. He was one that was obedient to the things of God. Notice in verse 14, look at verse 14 in our text again. Notice what it says here. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over His people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Saul, you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Notice that. You wasn't obedient to the things that I placed in your hand. Look at Acts chapter 13, if you would, please. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, I want us to look over there right quick and read a passage of Scripture out of Acts chapter 13. And we'll be looking at verse 22 of Acts chapter 13. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony, saying, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. He says, I've raised up David, a man after my own heart, who would do all my, who will obey the will of God, who will be obedient to the things of God, who will seek my will and not his own will, who will truly carry out what I have commanded him to carry out and not trying to seek his own agenda. He says, I've raised up David to be that, because David was obedient man. He was one who was truly obedient to the things of God. In other words, he was not, as they said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, he was not one who was just giving lip service, but their hearts were far away from God. David was just the opposite. David's heart was close to God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, he says, these people, they serve me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're giving a bunch of rhetoric, but they're not really truly seeking after me with their hearts. But David was just the opposite. He was one who truly sought after the things of God. He was one who was truly obedient to the things of God. He was one that carried out God's command, even at the point of sacrifice, even when it would hurt. Yeah, he was much like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus went to the Father and he says, Lord, if it's any other way to bring salvation to mankind, if it's any other way other than the cross, he says, let it be. Jesus sought the Father and he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In spite of what it will cost, in spite of the pain, in spite of the agony, in spite of all of that, he says, I looked beyond the cross and I saw the joy that was set before me. He says, because of the cross, I will be able to snatch, or there will be others that will be set free because of the price that was paid on the cross. And Jesus said, because of the joy. And so we see with David, he was a man that was truly obedient to the things of God. We look into his life, he was one that carried out God's will. We understand that sometimes it's hard to do what God is asking of us. We understand that sometimes it is much easier to just go off and try to do it a different way, but God says, no, this is what I've called you to. And David responds to that and says, yes, your will be done. Here's a man that will carry out all of my will, not just a portion of the will of God. He will be faithful in doing what God has asked him to do. He's a man after God's own heart. You see that David was an obedient man. And the Bible says it's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. It's better to obey. It's better to obey than it is to sacrifice. I used to love hearing Brother Ravenhill quote. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. He says, so therefore, if he says, trust and obey, because if you don't, you'll rust and decay. He says, so therefore, trust and obey. And I always stuck with me. I said, well, I definitely don't want to rust and decay. So God is calling us to be obedient. To obey is better than sacrifice. You see, Saul's sin was not the burnt offering. It was disobedient. Samuel told him, wait 7 days and then I'll be back. But he says, no. He says, when I saw that you didn't come at the appointed time, I forced myself. In other words, I went against what God told me to do. A lot of times people try to force things to happen. Try to make something happen in the flesh. But God says, no, obedience is better than sacrifice. Just obey. Just wait on the Lord. Just be patient. Be still and know that I am God. If necessary, just wait, because God is, he's doing something. And though we can't see it, and seemingly God is nowhere around, God is mightily at work in those that will obey him. Those that will obey. He's moving. We have to wait. We don't have to force anything to happen. We're not those that's trying to make it happen in our flesh. We're not trying to make something happen apart from God. God says, no, if you'll obey me, he says, then you will see truly how powerful and how mighty I am. I'll do great and mighty things. You'll do great things. We have to obey Him. He's calling us to be obedient. David was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. He had faith in God. He was a man that was not trusting in himself. He was trusting in God. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently, that were diligently seek Him. You see, God only feed hungry people.